Andrew Schneider here with Lynn Brandehorst. She is the current Ward 1 councilperson for the Pella City Council, has been in office for one term and running for a second. Lynn, why are you running?
Hi, Andrew. It's really great to be talking with you today. I have loved my first term in office. It has been an honor and a privilege to represent Ward 1, and I'd like to continue that privilege. I'd like to continue to talk with the individuals that live in Ward 1 and represent them in the best fashion available.
So you have a goal in mind, I'm sure, an overarching goal on top of many, as you've learned in the last 4 years. What is your overall vision for the next 4 years if you're elected and the things you'd like to accomplish, especially now that you've had one term under your belt?
Well, my top four goals for the next 4 years will be to continue to support Pella's small business and industrial community. I'd like to help to find new solutions for Pella's lack of affordable housing, which is a continuing issue on our agenda. Find a fiscally responsible solution to update Pella's crumbling infrastructure, that being the sewers and the roadways. And I'd also feel very strongly about continuing to enhance life and safety for all age demographics in our community.
So from within those issues, as you think about what you've already been able to do on council in the last 4 years, what are the things, and let's talk affordable housing, because I think that might be one of the key issues in this race. How do you, as a council person, you know, what tools, I guess, have you seen in your 4 years on council, and how do you find that truly affordable housing that I think many thought were going to come to Prairie Ridge, but the prices came out, and I think that people were kind of had that sticker shock.
Exactly, and there is a great deal of sticker shock, and that's something that a lot of citizens bring forth to me. One of the ideas that I had 4 years ago and continue to look at and have spoken with Mike Nardini about is I believe that we should take some of the TIF financing money that we have and grant grants to citizens who are looking at buying some of our older homes, particularly in Ward 1, and updating them. And I think that you would find not only a more affordable lifestyle for people, you would also find an enhancement of the restoration of our older homes and some of our architectural treasures in the community.
Now, you were on council when downtown infrastructure was brought up as part of a streetscape package, and that ultimately did not pass, at least the vision of it did not pass through that previous council, I think prior to the 2019 election, right on the heels of it. What are your solutions then going forward as we think about infrastructure, knowing that I think downtown's kind of the initial thing that people talk about, and that's what was talked about in streetscape, and then knowing that there's an entire community around that too.
Right. I was part of that council, and I felt strongly and continue to feel strongly that we need to take care of what is underneath our feet. And we have plenty of time to look at what's in front of our eyes as far as the pretty pieces of Pella. And in fact, we have a wonderful committee now that is working on doing those things in the spirit of Pella. That committee is doing a phenomenal job at taking the pieces of Pella's downtown that need a little bit of a facelift. They're bringing life and vitality into areas of Pella and have an amazing mural idea for our community. Those are all things that I believe that different groups can bring forward, and it allows the city then to concentrate on, again, what's crumbling beneath our feet. Our sewer system downtown is ancient. Some of the connections are almost, if not, 100 years old. And if we have a sewer failure, particularly in our downtown, it would be catastrophic to business and residences. One need only travel a short distance on our roadways to see that a lot of them are in horrible shape. Union Street, for example, is just crumbling. University Street by the tennis courts is practically gravel. It it needs updating in the worst way. I was glad that the council has now agreed to take South Prairie Street and look at paving that, because we built a new city facility, that being Pella Fiber, on what is a gravel road, which to me was almost an inexcusable decision on our part. We need to have a road that is easily passable and not gravel. So yes, infrastructure is very near and dear to me.
So why should the people of Pella give you a second term? And Ward 1 specifically.
Ward 1. Because I represent them. I'm that person that they can come and they can talk to. 4 years ago, you and I sat in this very office, and I had just newly been elected. And I told you I wanted to be the dirt between the toes type of candidate. And no pun intended, since my husband and I own a greenhouse. But I believe I've accomplished that. I've met with people. They've walked in our shop. We intentionally have a table set up in front of the store so citizens can come and sit and share a bottle of pop or a bottle of water and talk to me about their concerns. And that's how I believe grassroots local government should be. You should be able to state your concerns. You should be able to say, hey, what do you think about this? On a small town basis. And you should count on your council person to bring your concerns forward. They're the ones that put you in office. Essentially, they are your bosses.
So Lynn, I think as we think about the dichotomy of this election overall, and we take a step back, you look at the yard signs, and it seems like there have been more or less alliances formed when it comes to certain candidates. And I think you've made it no secret that you've been very much side by side with Bruce the last 2 years that you guys have been together, in particular after the last election. Tony Bockhoven running again, and the three of you have really stated that you have a shared vision and goals. On the flip side, I'm sure some voters may have concerns with that. What was the decision behind aligning yourself with Tony and Bruce, and kind of the purpose behind the alliance, so to speak?
I think that's an excellent question. For anyone that knows me, and for those of you that don't, my fiduciary responsibility is extremely important to me. I want to know where the taxpayers' money is going. I want to know that it is being spent appropriately. And I want to know at all times the fiscal health of our community. And most importantly, I want to know what our Moody rating is, and I don't want to deplete that. It took 16 years to rebuild that under Mayor Dobenacker's terms in office, and also under Mueller's terms in office. We always had a vision on the financial health of our community. And I know that both Tony Bockhoven and Bruce Skibout share that same eye on the budget as I do. And I feel that that's a focus that we need to continue to have, because I certainly do not want to have our community be involved with another 16-year recovery plan as it had in the past.
So when it comes to alliances, and I haven't seen this in my time at City Council, are you at all concerned, though, and worried about an individual council person's, in your case, voice being maybe overshadowed by that? And how do you assure the voter that Lynn Branderhorst is independent enough that if the other two have an idea that you don't think is good, you'll be ready to challenge them if all three of you are on council?
Well, there again, Andrew, anyone that knows me and anyone that has spoken with me, anyone that's attended a City Council meeting, anyone that has known my parents, they know that I was raised to be an independent thinker. And they also know that I was raised to always represent people that aren't always represented. And I will always be the voice for the people, and particularly the voice for the voiceless. So I don't think that that should be a concern for anybody, that I would not represent them.
So let's talk about some of the other issues that we didn't have a chance to during our on-air portion. And I think the big one is the future of arts and recreation in our community, the Pella Community Center. Many parts of the building have been in disrepair for some time. It's been on the council's agenda much longer than I've been in town, and I think much longer than you've been running for office. I think you've made your stance very public that you're supportive of a renovation in conjunction with the Friends of the Community Center at the current location. I imagine that vision hasn't changed, but what is the ultimate reason for your support behind renovating the current facility as opposed to perhaps a new facility?
You're correct. I am steadfast in my stance for restoration and rehabilitation of the existing community center. The city needs to understand that not only is the building placed in exactly the right place, but the architectural design is also a piece of art. And so to build something new to replace it, I believe would be an atrocity. This building has stood where it has stood for a very long time. It has served its purpose, and it should continue to serve its purpose and be what it is, a jewel and a catalyst for our community.
So with the community center issue comes the other concern I think many residents have about expanding recreation and yes, the sports. Obviously, under your term, you saw the completion of the sports park, and a proposal right now that just came in front of you on council has to do with the rec center. What is your vision for recreation in our community, knowing that that's also, I think, a concern of many residents, and how that many have tried to place those two, I think, with the arts in opposition? How do you hope those two things then could also work together, perhaps?
Okay, well, there's a lot of levels in that question, so I'll try to break that question apart one by one. No, that's okay. We're good. We're good. As far as the recreation center that is being proposed, my understanding from the meeting last week is that we're kind of at the blue sky stage of things. We're at the imagine the possibilities stage. And that's always a really fun stage to be at, because then you can say, well, I want this and I want that. And there really isn't a lot of regard for what's the bottom line or what is this going to cost to build this. So at this moment, we can all look at it and think this is great, and this is a wonderful opportunity for Pella, and perhaps it really is. But until I see what the funding is, who the funders are, how much is going to be funded, and what is the initial cost for the citizens, will the cost create a tax increase for the citizens? What is the maintenance piece of this facility to this on the part of the city? And also, and not limited to, the fact that can we even staff a facility like this? Because if many of you know, our outdoor swimming pool had to be closed the last 2 weeks of the summer because we did not have enough staff. So all of those things need to go into consideration before I can completely throw my backing behind something. And again, most importantly, I always have my eye on my fiduciary responsibility to the taxpayers who have put me in office. And when you're sworn into office, you hold up your hand, your right hand, and you take an oath of office, and that is to do the best you can for your citizens and to do your fiduciary responsibility. And as you can tell, I take that extremely seriously.
Now, we've touched on, I think, the hot button issues, workforce, the rec center, Pella Community Center, especially being in office for 4 years. What's something that voters maybe needed to take an extra look at before heading to the ballot box, or an issue that maybe hasn't been at the forefront of the council, especially recently?
Well, I would just ask personally that the voters, particularly the voters of Ward 1, look at my track record. I have, again, considered it a privilege and an honor to represent them. I have spoken with them when they have come to speak with me. I'm a very accessible city council member. Sometimes I think I'm the most accessible city council member. And I think that we need to continue to focus on our financial responsibility and our financial responsibility to our children, to our grandchildren, and to our children's children. Again, we need to look at what our community can afford. And if we can afford something, then I say we move forward with it. But we always have to keep our eye on the financial piece of things.
So one of the issues that has been brought up several times to me, and I think is no secret, you mentioned the Aquatic Center a few answers ago, the recent controversy there when it came to the dress code policy and a group of citizens that's been very vocal at council meetings recently. And I recall at the first council meeting that really came to a head, that you had more or less said that action would be taken. It may not be easy, but the action would be taken. I hate to misquote you on that, and correct me if I'm wrong. Do you feel that the action has been taken, and what do you think the council's role is in going forward, balancing the issue of transgender rights or rights of any citizen versus decency law?
Well, here again, this is going to circle back around to one of the questions you asked me prior, and that was, will you speak up for the citizens? And the answer to that is yes, I will, and yes, I did in this case. There were only two council members that spoke at that meeting, and I was one of them. And I will continue to look at that issue. But in looking at the issue, in speaking with citizens, which I have continued to do, in having elected officials from other states, other communities come and speak with me, I still believe that what we need to look at is not the gay, the transgender issue. I think we need to look at, and I have been looking at, is the nudity policy, not only for our community, but also for the state of Iowa. In the state of Iowa, we have a very relaxed nudity policy. I actually had a mayor from another community come in and visit with me, as many of our citizens do, and talk to me about what they did in their Iowa community, because he was concerned as well, and how they tightened up their nudity policies in their community. And I have been working with Tony Bachhoven and Bruce Skibout in writing a nudity policy for our community, and having a lot of sets of eyes look at it, because you must be very, very careful with your wording. But when I tell people I'm going to do something about it, I'm going to do something about it, and we have started this process.
And just because you brought up the fact that there's review, knowing that legal counsel from the city ultimately advised the action that was taken, how do you balance that, knowing that legal counsel may not 100% agree, or that there might be some gray area there?
I will listen to what they have to say. And on the flip side of that, I've also had legal counsel from different communities and being represented by different organizations that say they will look at it as well.
So let's take another step back here, and I kind of asked it before, but maybe I'll focus and hone in, because you talk financial responsibility, and I don't want to dismiss that as important, but what's a topic that we're not talking about enough in this election, or something that you feel needs to come back up in the next term from the council, whether it be quality of life projects, infrastructure, or so on?
Well, I think that one of the things that we're constantly talking about is we're trying to constantly enhance the lifestyle of a certain age demographic in our community. And I do a lot of public speaking, and I visit with a lot of people. And particularly one of my favorite groups to meet with are the individuals living in our assisted living facilities. And you talk about people that have no filter. Those are my favorite humans, basically, to speak with. And I share their concern when our individuals that are living in the manor per se or the cottages share with me the question, what about us? What about us? And I think that's part of the reason that I fight so hard for the community center is they're afraid to lose a facility that is accessible to them by virtue of walking or a mobilized scooter. They're afraid to have a structure that's placed outside of on the exterior of our community that isn't as accessible. So I think we need to continue to focus on making enhancing life for all ages, not just one demographic.
So Lynn, you do mention accessibility with the community center. You just brought that up and catering to the elderly. The current facility is not very ADA compliant. I think that several consultants have told the city that. And even with the Friends of the Pella Community Center plan, it won't be 100% either. How do you balance that knowing that that facility, there's going to be a lot of money that goes into that building that will be to get it up to speed? Again, preservation, I know, is a big piece of what your vision is for that building, but understand that there's a lot of investment going in just to make it more modern, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have seen the plans for the Friends of the Community Center, and I'm really comfortable with the accessibility. I worked for a number of years with the Christian Opportunity Center, and we used that building all the time for our adults with disabilities and found it to really be a good spot for them. I also had a father, sadly, who passed away with Parkinson's and was wheelchair-bound. So accessibility is something that I'm quite sensitive to. And when I look at the design and I look at the plans, I think that they've done a masterful job of making it accessible.
So my other question for you, and this popped up in my head too, when you and I talked 4 years ago, it was about redevelopment on Oskaloosa Street in that corridor. How do you feel progress is going along with that, knowing that I think there was a lot of plans pre-COVID that were heavily discussed, and it feels like right now have kind of been put on the back burner for several other important issues?
Thank you so much for asking that, because that is something that's near and dear to my heart, and that is a reason that I ran it for the first 4 years, and it is a huge reason that I would want to be reelected to see that project go forward. Council under Mayor Mueller placed high importance on this project, and the current council, too, also placed importance on this. The first step in the Oskaloosa Corridor project, the beautification step, has been to develop a design and approve a design for the old light plant site. And we're now embarking on the engineering studies of that. We're doing soil samples. We're making sure that we know what's in the soil, kind of that measure twice, cut once mentality on that, before we start working on the development of this site. And the name that we called it, and we've kind of landed on, are the Coal Commons. So that has been a project that is quite near and dear to my heart, and I believe will open up the potential for urban renewal, urban revitalization, and the welcoming of new businesses on that corridor. There are 8,000 cars a day that go up and down Oskaloosa Street. So there certainly is a lot of potential there. And as we all know, Ward 1, the South Side, Oskaloosa Corridor, whatever you want to name it, has a grand and glorious history that needs to be told, and it needs to be fought for.